This is CliffCentral.com.
This just in.
You're tuned into Kalman on CliffCentral.com. But as you can hear, I guess a pretty weird way to start off a Kalman show without hearing Kalman.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait, first of all, you're not going to speed past that like you didn't just say what you just said. Because we take it over.
Said we take it over. Mama, you never told me how we must treat them when they come here. I'm waiting for a signal, man.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, boy, yes, we are back on CliffCentral.com with the Urban Culture Drive Takes Over.
And as always,
I'm squad deep. I'm chilling with my girl
what's
C.
What's good?
And I'm chilling with my boy C.
Yes.
I can never get used to this. I always get scared, guys.
Why?
I don't know. Like, it's just one of those.
It's too much.
It feels like, a few minutes just before an exam paper is handed to
you. Yeah, you know what?
That funny thing, that anxiety. You know?
And then once you start answering question one and you see it's cack, then you move on to question two and it's also cack, then you're like, shit, am I really supposed to be here?
Yeah, I've had a few of those.
And then you cry. I once cried in an exam.
I've never had an episode in exam room.
Adversity.
Crying though.
Can I tell you guys what happened to me once?
Yeah.
Yes.
What happened?
I studied Neshap and I was ready for this thing. I had read the question wrong. There were three questions. Okay. I read answer one of the three. Because usually they had those kind of exams where you pick one.
Yeah.
So in my mind, that's how I had read the question at the time. My God. I get out the venue and I run into a mate of mine and I'm like, which question did you answer? And my mate's like, oh, all three. What do you mean? I'm like, no. They said one. They're like, yeah. Candace, you had to answer all three. I ran back to the hall. And I'm there because I'm panicking. I'm in panic mode. So I go to the
invigilators there.
Actually, the lecturer was there as well. And I'm like, so, you know what? Something really crazy happened. I just left. I'm back right now. I just realized that I didn't answer the other questions. Someone just told me. And he's like, unfortunately, it is what it is. And that was the deepest L I've ever taken.
Yeah.
I never quite came back from that.
Wait,
I'm still recovering from
that. Wait, you studied
Public Management.
Arts, right?
Public Management. It's a B administration.
So B Ed.
Yeah.
So you never had to do English.
No. We had to do EOT.
No.
But then you write a test, and then they exclude you if you did really well. Yeah. And they excluded me because.
Yeah. No, but I did English, not like the EOT.
Oh, you did like linguistics, like that English.
Because I thought it was a deep thing, you know.
English.
Oh my goodness, it was the worst shit in the world.
It's terrible. It's very
Augustine poetry.
Oh my God.
Things written in 17th century. It was horrible, and I remember saying to myself, I don't understand what's going on, so I'm going to bullshit my way. And I did bullshit to a final mark of 51, which...
Beautiful. As long as you pass, Baba.
Well, you passed.
But also, the whole thing was not even necessary. I was trying to be extra.
It's like, I'm done with
like,
it.
Like, oh my
it's
gosh,
fine.
I did Great Gatsby and university.
Mina, guys, it was third year, I remember.
Yeah.
It was an exam. So, it's semester one, semester two, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, semester one, flunked. It was one of those, get the answer right or get the question wrong.
Yeah.
So you get that or you don't get anything, right? So first semester flunked. It's fine. That's a problem. Second semester test, three questions like you. Question one, zap, I don't understand. Question two, I don't understand. Question three, I don't understand. Now this is my major.
Oh
statics.
God. Oh my God.
If I fail this, I lose my bursary. I just lost my mother.
Oh,
so I was like,
baby.
I wept.
Oh, darling.
I wept in the test,
shame.
But I was like, you know what? Let's go. And I passed. Moral of the story, weep but move on.
True.
Shame, but was it like a what was it like a
yeah,
kind of
like
weep?
Tears, like
could people
you know when you see your life flashing in front of you, you know.
My baby.
If I fail this, that means I stand a chance of losing the bursary.
Oh.
And the only person who could cover me is a person who's no longer here.
Oh, my sweet,
so
sweet, sweet love.
Make or pray.
You know what? You did an amazing job and I'm
absolutely
proud of you. And please Applause.
Yeah.
Cue the applause.
You think it's time for the applause?
Yeah, you deserve it, baby. Yeah, you deserve true. The applause. Go, Joby! Well done, baby.
So yeah, it was a tough time. It was a dark time in my life, but
yeah.
I made it happen.
Look at you.
I made it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we started the song, the show off with Maroon 5, Cardi B.
Yeah.
In spirit of Women's Month.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Girls like you. Mm-hmm. So we're celebrating Women's Month. This is a shout out to all you lovely honeys. We need more girls like you.
You should have went in with like something as strong as Independent Woman by Destiny's Child. You know what I mean?
It's
like
a new age.
But what happened to that that era of women becoming feeling so strong? You know, back then, I don't need a man by my side. I feel like it just kind of died away with
kinda,
the whole slay queen.
Yeah. It did kind of.
It died.
They realized that whole is life.
There was a point where women were so strong. They felt so strong. Hey, yeah, like I don't need this. I don't need a man. I don't need a ring. But now, honey,
who's like?
I think there are like some women that are still very like, especially feminists that are very pro, you know, independent and blah blah blah. But
it's a small minority. Remember back in the day, it was a majority of Mbogoto power to the struggle and a small minority of slay queen. Now it's reversed.
Hey, we want Rex.
But tell me something between the three of us, guys. Mm-hmm. Just want to quickly ask bounce of something. A woman that you strongly admire and why? I'm going to start off with
I'll
Candace.
Go first. Yeah. So go with Candace. I would say, and everyone probably says this woman, but I would say Oprah Winfrey, guys.
Stunning.
Amen. You don't just overcome shit in Jane. This woman like overcame not only adversities, but personal struggles as well. Being violated, abused, raped, all of those things. And also the time that she was coming, she began to rise, right? It was a time where, you know, black woman on television, black woman hosting her own talk show. And also she shared a story that when she was it was her first job, and she was a newsreader, news broadcaster at this time, and they told her that they don't like her hair.
She needs
to fix her hair. And she was like, "Howdy, boy.
This is me.
We can wrap it up, but this is my hair. This is how it's gonna be." And look at her. Look at her now. So definitely Oprah Winfrey.
Whip it out and move on.
Gorgeous, Job.
Cliche as it may be, is my grandmother.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. But that's beautiful.
Yeah.
At least you had like prime example in your life.
I'm saying, like, she's the one who raised me. So through everything that I know, it's because of that woman. So the reason is my grandmother is because I know her life story and what she had to go through to be where we are at today as a family. Mm-hmm. Not as Job, but as a family.
All right.
So she wasn't abused. She wasn't done this and that. She's not educated, but she's one of the smartest people to ever have a conversation with.
Wow.
And she's up to date with current affairs. She's carried not only our family, but the extended family on her shoulders. And she literally physically built her own house with her own physical hands.
That is quite admirable. And I just want to add on to that. Like, let's make it a bit more external. So somebody that you're not biased to.
So not someone who's close
to. Yeah, I want somebody more objective. Someone who can be sort of public.
No, it's fine. Let's see. Out of home, the woman I admire the most. Oh, let me think about that one.
All right.
Answer when I'm in time.
I'm currently obsessed with Noni Gasa. I think Noni Gasa has risen from the ashes.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's worked her way.
On the rise now,
And there's an element of class and elegance that she carries as a woman.
Absolutely.
And I think she's absolutely stunning. You know, natural beauty has always kept her life private.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of those people that I think, you know, a lot of women can actually look up to. And shout out to her for completing not only a degree, but a double major in MBA luxury management in Paris.
Oh, wow.
So she's
done
the most when she came back to SA. I mean, she left 3 years ago. She came back to just slay. So I'm quite proud of a woman like that.
Amazing.
I feel like it's stunning, especially from a South African perspective.
Yeah.
Wow, beautiful.
Okay, I'm back now. I remembered. I just watched what was this? Queen B's documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce, Jay-Z's Better Half.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That woman is a beast, guys.
Absolutely. Mm.
That woman's work ethic, that woman, and you know the funny thing is Queen B is such a beast, né? But she's such a child at the same time.
Mm.
So her demeanor, her aura, and her personality is like it's like kiddish, like
absolutely.
Nurture me and whatnot. But when it comes to getting shit done,
when she's on stage,
she's a boss.
Yeah,
like she's a Like, so yeah, that's because I like a woman who understands, like, not understands, but who's herself, who's nice and needs to be nurtured, but is not limited to that, can stand up and say, I can do this.
Absolutely.
So when we're home, you are a girly girl.
You can be vulnerable and,
But when it comes time to boss up, you're like, nigga, I'll carry your ass.
Yeah, because I almost got the wrong queen bee right there for a second.
No.
Me too.
Not the local. That's why I put a disclaimer to understand. She a boss bitch. I know that queen bee.
Yeah.
But
she a boss bitch too.
She a boss bitch too, but nah.
Yeah, but also we're talking international league, so it's also, you know.
She's number one. So the reason I started with Cardi, you're asking, right?
Yeah.
Cardi is a classic example of what's happening today. Rising from slutty nation, making it as a
And shout out to women performing while they're pregnant.
Exactly.
Beyonce, Cardi. I feel like that's finessing. That's embracing me, even though I am supposed to be unattractive. I'm supposed to be staying at home. I'm finessing.
Because the world sees. So she's a classic example. You can rise from whatever background woman ends. You know, you can come. Your history does not define. Your background does not define your future.
Yeah.
Whatever.
100%.
Classic saying. Yeah, so
I want to flip the script on that since we're on that. Who would you say is the one woman you inspire that's more unconventional in terms of being at the forefront and being Cardi B.
That's why I chose Cardi.
Cardi B.
For me, it's her.
Yeah.
I would definitely say the Kardashian Jenners, guys. Mm. As you know, these women, I mean, for starters, let's speak to the incredible woman that is Kris Jenner.
Absolutely.
Let's start there. I think the mother, the momager, the mother of it all. Kris Jenner is a fucking powerhouse, guys.
But you've also been quite obsessed with this.
But
I won't lie. I 100% agree with you. She knows how to pick him. She knows how to nurture. You are 100% right. And I mean, let's talk about that latest tweet between Tyson Beckford and Kim Kardashian. I felt like Tyson kind of deserved that.
He deserved it. There was no reason. And Ibile, what are you doing? When last did you get booked for a job? Exactly. So sit this one out.
Yeah,
completely. Okay, sorry.
Took that? Yeah, you're defending family there.
Yes.
Yeah, you're defending family.
This is my goddamn
Kim
sister,
Kardashian,
y'all.
You better adopt this child. You don't understand. This child is...
Firm.
So
firm.
For you, it's the sisters. And for you, Craig, outside of, like, an orthodox type of woman.
Okay. Ironically, I find people like Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child quite strong because they've had to live off other people's shadows for so long.
They
keep cucked out forever, but they still manage to be alive. They still manage to push their agenda. Women like that who have been shadowed, you know what I mean?
Pushed to the side.
You know what I mean? I feel like that's it requires a lot more strength and a lot more willpower
and courage.
You know what I mean? I mean, let's be honest, no one really talks about her. Everyone kind of mocks her.
And I mean, imagine her living her own life, knowing that Sharp B is the king.
Yeah.
And then Michelle, I mean, Kelly Rowland's also not doing too bad.
Yeah.
And then there's Michelle. You know, and no one wants to be the Michelle
absolutely.
Ever.
Absolutely. You are the mockery
Shame.
Of.
Ach.
Yeah, that's very.
It's tough, man.
It's very
tough.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you say that's the beauty of understanding your own, like being comfortable in your own skin?
Yeah.
She's a true example of that regardless of whatever happens in my world or around with my peers, I am still who I am, and I own that to the T. Hence she survived for so long.
Absolutely.
I know.
She stuck to a lane.
Yeah. I know a couple of years ago there was a hashtag trending poor Michelle.
Yes, I recall.
Where
that.
People were going in and they would find old videos and stuff where it looked like Beyonce was pushing her aside
or shading her.
Or shading her. Like, and then she clapped back and she's like, hashtag poor Michelle. Oh, that's not what my accountant said. So
Thank you. That's deep.
So yeah, that's how you. Yeah.
But speaking of that now, like social media is such a fuck up, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Like
100%. It's a blessing and a curse, guys.
Mm.
And I have such strong feelings
but
about...
But I do feel that you have the power. You are in complete control of the reciprocation of
strangers. As an adult, you are. But now you forget that this thing is exposed to our younger kids.
Okay, fair enough.
Below 18. And that's the, that's why they're consuming it and they're growing up in this world, which is a fuck up. You get what I'm saying?
That is quite.
And that is my. I'm not concerned about us as adults. Whatever you choose to do with social media, fuck it. You're grown. You know right and wrong.
Yeah.
My biggest, like, my deepest concern with this is the kids.
Yeah.
Who are now using your iPhones and your iPhones X and have uncapped data. And what are the parents fucking doing with that shit?
Yeah. And also as a child, you
can't filter.
Yeah.
What you consume. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? And that's my biggest problem. That needs to be nipped in the bud.
How do you handle it though? How do you handle a situation like that? Do you control content?
It needs to start at home because you cannot control the internet. So you as a parent, you need to start empower monitoring.
Empower your child.
Yeah.
Besides that, you need to start monitoring data usages, right? Simple things like that. So instead of giving them uncapped, you give them a data package. When it's done, you review what it was used for. Because then now you implement that thing of, you know, when a child needs to report to a parent when they've done something wrong, there's that sense of fear. Because now for them to be recharged with data, they need to now go show you what they were doing with their data.
So essentially, this is accountability.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beautifully put. So it needs to start with the fucking parents.
I think that, you know, I completely disagree with that. I think that as a parent, you are supposed to lay foundation. You're supposed to lay the principles of being accountable for your actions. But, I mean, there's no way. I mean, I'm just going to give you a simple example of, for example, my students, what they get exposed to on a day-to-day basis.
But we're talking adults there.
Yeah, I get you.
We're talking adults.
But yeah, just example, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the kids that, I mean, I would say the students that come into varsity, most of their lives have been controlled. They've been told to report. They've been told to do this and that. And the moment that they come into varsity, they just become these complete wild kids.
Oh, you know what
I mean? I saw that with my parents as well. I mean, they did the whole thing of do this, do that. You're supposed to do that, you know? And then when my younger brother was growing up, because he was sort of the last born, they were a little bit laid back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he was a lot more responsible in terms of alcohol usage and, you know, all sorts of things that when we were hindered from doing, we were told, these are really bad for you, whatever the case might be. You know, because it was like, you had to be accountable. You had to be at home at whatever time. So there was a certain element of, you feel quite constricted.
Okay, maybe let me explain. I'm not saying constrict the child. I'm just saying, that's why it's, when you said accountability, I agreed with that. It's a matter of making them understand their choices have an effect.
Absolutely. But you can never control.
Yeah, but you can.
The willful maximum prison.
You can't make them in prison, but you need to instill some sense of
definitely
a responsibility in them.
Absolutely.
Because then once they know what I have to go, when I ask for, once you do it once or twice, that thing of, once or twice when you do that, it instills that thing with, okay, let me be responsible.
And also,
you get
what I'm saying? And also they have to go through this phase
one
way or another.
Absolutely.
Rather they do it earlier than later.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Saying, it must be controlled. You can't just say, go in there and go drown.
No one would ever say
the world we are in now is far different and completely fucked up to the world we used to be back in the day. I mean, from a stripper to Cardi B that I'm celebrating today.
Yeah.
That's a whole different type of vibe. It's a whole landscape. It's a whole change. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we need to be cognizant of that as parents and lead the example from our side.
Absolutely.
And as not only as parents, man, as siblings, as brothers, and as uncles, as whatever fucking significant influence we have on the young ones, right?
100%.
That's true.
Accountability
is
I'm
key.
Looking at your faces, guys. It's like,
you can't control everything and anything.
Yeah, and
like,
also I also don't want to have some other people's kids, you know, on my lap.
It's like, but
I really don't want to.
Charity,
as much as it's
charity
it's
begins
sweet
at home.
I'm not that kind of person. I know myself. If, for example, I were to have a kid right now, I know the kid would probably starve while I'm busy shopping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I just know that I'm not
ready.
Engineered for that kind of vibe. As yet, maybe it's just me. I don't have that child.
Okay.
Yeah, some people have it naturally. They're very nurturing.
Yeah,
but I know myself. I'm not. So don't bring your kid here.
100%. Thank you. Noted. Note to self.
On that note, I like it.
This is CliffCentral.com.
What if you were told that you were going to live to 200 years old? As Sanlam turns 100, they're looking ahead to the future. The 200-year-old is a future-facing podcast based on leading science, featuring the voices of Nambita Mpumlwana and Thapelo Mokoena. It's the story of Lesedi Ndaba, told in the year 2218. It's a podcast that pulls back the curtain to the world of the future. Visit the 200yearold.co.za to listen or find out more on cliffcentral.com.
Yo, what's up, what's up? This is Brennan Leo, and you are currently tuned in to Urban Culture Drive with your boy, Nasekwa Mapanga, your sexy girl, Candace, and the one and only Craig 06. Sit back and relax. Don't worry, you're in good hands. Out. Urban Culture Drive. Boy,
listen, Candace, Craig 06.
Urban Culture Drive.
Boom, boom. Urban Culture Drive. I need to do voiceovers, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Toads.
Nah, I would kill it, nah?
Ah,
Weza.
Destroy it.
Both of you.
Destroy Weza.
Both of you. You and Candace just need to...
I just need more practice, though.
You absolutely have the voice, so...
Yeah. I just need
you
practice.
You just literally have to just be yourself.
And you don't?
I think I have the energy, so I can read...
And the
energy
voice, and the accent.
Yeah, I think that the voice is okay. Yeah. But I think like in terms of like knowing when to be high pitched, low pitched.
Yeah. That's the skill I need to learn.
See, so we need to
teach
trade skills, yes.
You need to teach me what, but I can't teach you to have a voice like
you can totally teach me how to have your voice.
Yeah. But you're good at accents already, so already you have the voice thing coming.
Of course.
So definitely.
Don't forget it. Don't.
Mm-hmm.
Before Cardi B's thing, you were talking about you don't wanna crack, you don't have it in you to be
maternal
nurturing
yes,
and
as feminine as that may be. Yeah, no,
yeah,
no, absolutely not
that type of vibe. Do you know, I was talking to this about this to my aunt like,
yeah,
now recently. Do you think it's because of a family background?
Absolutely not.
100% I think
I don't think so.
So okay, that's what I like.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
not.
For me, I share those very same sentiments. Yeah. Craig, I don't think that I could you know how people say as a mother when you give birth,
yeah,
there's a maternal instinct and it kicks in and you just love
this
child.
Yeah.
I do not believe that, and you've heard of things like postpartum depression.
Yeah.
Where women give birth and they're depressed after that because they don't quite bond
as
instantaneously
the
as they thought they would with this child, because society says it's your child you're supposed to love, right? And with these women who suffer of postpartum depression, they don't have that automatic connection. So this is still a stranger. What is this? This is a baby. I don't feel that urge to
Why
love
must
that
I take
love.
Care of this thing?
Yeah.
I think personally, for me, because I don't know it firsthand from my parents.
Yeah.
And I don't think my mother wanted kids, but she was in a situation where she had three.
Yeah.
You understand? And at that time, I don't know if she could speak out. At that time, could you say, I don't like this child? Could you, you know, I don't want this child?
Taboos, like what?
So she didn't really give us that love. So I think for me, I don't want to risk having a child and feeling the same feeling my mom had towards us.
So you feel it was passed down, that kind
yes.
of
I just feel like I don't want to project and be like, no, but no one loved me, so I won't love
I
you.
Won't
I don't
love,
want that shit.
Yeah.
So I don't want to risk it. But personally, I don't want to have kids. At all.
Yeah.
Nakishap.
So you do feel part of you not being able to.
Absolutely.
It's all
my parents' fault.
And then for you, Craig, you saying no. Why?
No, I think my family did an absolutely amazing job with me and my other siblings.
So hence I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I don't think that my fear or my resistance towards being a parent is due to them. No, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with the fact that I know myself. I just know myself. I know the kind of person that I am. I know that I can, there's certain things that I don't want to be responsible for currently in my mindset, you know. I mean, just growing up, I knew that I never wanted to babysit. So it's not like I just woke up and someone abused me or something like that. No, it had nothing to do with that. It's not trauma for anything. It's just that, you know, when you get to a stage where you just know yourself and you know the kind of things that you're able to, you know, take on.
Which lane?
Yeah, which lane?
Which lane you're on.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's not everyone is meant to be parents. And I think Candace said this once. She said, like, not everyone's meant to be a mom or a dad.
Yeah.
You know? And shout out to all the moms who were mothers, even though they didn't want to. That's the difficult part.
Yes.
Imagine.
And raised, like, proper fucking kids.
Exactly.
With love.
Because if you really think about it, it's not just a 5-year-old responsibility or a 10. It's a life time of even when they're done with varsity or whatever the case might be.
It's like still me now. It's still your issue. Mm, it's,
like me now.
You know?
You know, part of my survival is because of family.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So but for me, so I was talking, like I was saying, I was talking to my aunt about it. So my cousin is missing, right?
Oh. Is that the guy you've been posting?
Yeah, the guy I've been posting. So my cousin is missing.
Yes, sus, bruh.
And there's a number of kiring, loose ends or missing parts.
Okay.
Yeah.
With his whereabouts. Like, how is the story not connecting? Like, did you find out this? Did you find out that?
Because yeah. I think I read it, he was at work, ne?
Yeah.
Mm. And then, and just didn't come home.
Yeah, after work, that was it. Nobody knows where he went.
Yeah.
How? Get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What but do now, you think?
But now that's my hence I'm talking now about the connectedness of a family, right? Because when we're sitting down and such a crisis happens, we'll obviously share ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So now my aunt was telling me about a conversation she had
with him.
And, no, no.
Okay.
With the people around okay. the situation, mm. and there were a lot of missing links. Like if Candace was in that situation, I would be able to advise Candace as if Candace is a family member and say, Candace, let's do 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it felt like the people within that situation didn't have that kind of mindset. It felt almost like, yeah, we'll do our bit about advertising.
But I mean, it is what it is.
In terms of finding out, hey, deal with your issue.
Oh, okay.
It felt like that. You get what I'm saying? And now hence I'm thinking, is it like that really? Because I don't know my family to be like that. So is it a stressful situation that
no one knows how to handle?
No one knows how to handle. Or
it's foreign, obviously. No one knows how to handle a missing person's case per se, because it doesn't happen.
You get?
You don't know how to feel because there's a lot of uncertainty.
Exactly. Mm.
And at some point I watch a lot of missing persons documentaries, and at some point people just even finding a body is fine. They just need closure. Because you can't live with not knowing where the fuck this person is.
Absolutely.
So it's tricky. It's very tricky. I don't know. What do you think happened to your cousin? Because many times people go missing on their own accord.
Yeah, like So
were there signs?
I think there were signs.
Okay,
but no one picked them up.
Yeah, like it's one of those where, like you said, you don't know how to handle them. You know, when a person is being a rebel, is being a rebel, what you won't do?
Okay.
Mm, I get
you get
you.
What I'm saying? And now when a situation like this comes, it's like, it feels somehow. Because you can't say, I kind of expected it. But you can also say, I didn't kind of expect it.
Yeah, and it's kind of scary because...
You get what I'm saying?
Now that it's getting closer to home, there's been a lot of missing people's reports being filed.
Exactly.
Including my friend Oros.
Who went to Abu Dhabi.
A friend of his actually released a statement online saying
he's been found.
That Oros is not in Abu Dhabi. He never left for the flight. He never got into that flight.
Okay.
The last time they had communicated with him was that he was in the United States.
Okay.
So I think for the sake of everyone's sanity, Oros is fine.
Okay.
I think.
You think it's just a dramatic stunt?
You know what? I just want to find this post as you guys proceed with this conversation.
Yeah, but if he didn't make the flight and he's not coming out to say I'm okay.
And he posted the flight.
Yeah, he posted the flight.
But then that's what people do on social media. We post shit that
before
you know,
it even
that
happens,
doesn't really happen.
I'm in the hotel, I'm packing, I'm posting.
Or shit that just doesn't happen.
Mm. You get what I'm saying?
Let's not forget, right?
But now, if that's the case and an article like this came out, surely he's seen it.
And everyone is saying the family is not doing him enough. The family's not communicating. No one's telling us anything. Same thing with Karabo.
Yeah.
No one's releasing a statement saying, okay, guys, this is what we know.
Yeah.
Where is Karabo?
So now what? You see.
Where is Karabo?
So now what do you do?
So this is the statement from a friend of Sakile's.
Yeah.
As friends of Sakile Msibi, known as Oros Bobby, we would like to share that after a series of investigations done privately, we would like to confirm that we have last been in contact with him on the 1st of May 2018.
Yes.
Following his posts on IG and FB, we can confirm that he did not catch any flight to the UAE, Abu Dhabi, or Dubai. And after our findings, we are officially stating that he didn't fly to the UAE as the post state. And newspaper, our source, as the post state newspaper, our source has confirmed that he flew to the United States. We do not have any further information thus far. Therefore, please kindly refrain from sending any DMs requests for further information. Blah 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 blah. Thank you for your kind support, Oros's friends Annette and Pascal.
Yeah, Annette hashtag and help Pascal find. Are like, yeah.
So is that a statement saying Oros is okay?
Well, we don't know.
I mean, if I'm going to derive anything from this, that's what I'm going to take away from this.
If they're saying don't DM, don't say anything, they're simply saying we're content with what we know. Let it be.
But then the issue here, the tricky issue here is the disconnect. It's the complete, you know, people are just, he just cut off the communication. It's a wrap. I don't want to talk. People do, it happens. Sometimes people just don't want to.
But I do feel that, you know, there's a certain amount of responsibility that you must, you know, you cannot, I feel like it's quite selfish to do that. Because people do worry.
Yeah.
You know, and especially if you're consistently posting and you've influenced a lot of people's lives. And you know, I mean, especially from just family and best friends.
And from the mere fact that your story even made the news. It clearly means you are something of an influence.
So if
we're gonna release such a statement, let it be clear. Okay, guys, we are saying no DMs, no things, because for us the situation is under control.
Absolutely. Because this is very, this I'm is saying? Very sort of vague in terms of what they're saying. Because okay, you're saying your person has communicated with him, but we mustn't DM. But he didn't get on the flight. But he did go to.
So what are you saying? Should we forget about the story or not? Because the same thing as Trevor said with racism, right? And just to divert a bit.
Yeah.
He said, at least us in SA, what happened with us is that we got the Truth and Reconciliation
Commission. Yeah.
That thing happened.
The TRC.
Where it was confirmed, yes, we were formed against you to divide you.
Yes.
Mm. So that the black people can understand we're not crazy. This shit was really against us.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there was a sense of ownership to say, okay, guys, really, this was happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got you.
We're not going to change it.
Yeah. Oh, but, shit ain't changing.
But yes, but it was. Yeah. This was what was happening. Absolutely. Versus the US, where they did what they're doing with Oros. This is the situation, but we can neither confirm nor deny.
Interesting.
So how do you move on?
And I mean, this is a whole human being. There are people that are worried about him. We want to know if he's okay. Bona, just tweet, I'm fine, guys.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
All. We'll be fine. We'll get off your ass. It's cool. Same thing with the Karabo thing. The Karabo thing is just, it annoys me so deeply that there's just nothing.
No, I see, you know.
No one is telling us.
Maybe we're also inquisitive, because if the people close to him are saying it's fine, then let it be, it's fine.
Let's see what happens.
At the end of the day, they're the ones who matter most than us, the general public.
Mm. But in the spirit of Women's Month, so I just want to quickly highlight something that I found quite interesting.
Yeah.
I found 6 facts, but I'm going to just start with one. So throughout the show, I'll be just mentioning one. The difference between men and women, and I found this very fascinating. Apparently, women have a larger hippocampus. This is where we store memories. This is why women can recall almost every single thing. So apparently, this enables them to recall things that have happened for a period
to the date,
for about five years.
Yeah.
So it's like it's got this memory box.
That's why they can remember
every single.
That's why we can tell you guys exactly where you all fucked
at
up.
4 o'clock on Tuesday, it was sunny. You were wearing a green shirt. You were even smutty.
And also, women are better cheaters. Smarter, better cheaters than men.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think this is brilliant. Because men get excited when they cheat, but women keep the status quo.
Oh, yes.
So if I'm married and I'm a woman, I will still do, I will still make the love, I will still cook.
Yes. That's
but men get excited. All of a sudden, a person's no longer coming back home.
Yes.
You lose the pattern.
You know,
the trend.
I feel like, you know, there's quite a lot of things that I've learned from women. To
same
say
year.
More than men, actually,
same
you know, and it's not the whole gay thing, but I think it's just the way that women handle situations, how they handle pressure, how they can be composed in the toughest situations.
Yeah.
A woman can go through a period and you have no idea, unless if you're dating, of course.
Yes,
you know what I mean. It's amazing. 100%.
Greg, it's not the whole gay thing. Like, come on, like we'd expect it's the gay thing. No, you know, it's like I've learned a lot from women, but it's not the whole gay thing.
No, absolutely.
Obvious.
No, but I'm just saying, because, you know, naturally, as a gay person,
the connotation is there.
In tune with your feminine side. But it's just fascinating how women operate.
Yeah. We're gems, guys.
Mm. Speaking of you, another thing. That's why, when women came out and said men are trash, it's like, guys, you the bigger trash.
Nope.
Women are brave.
We low-key are.
Women will bring a child from outside. knowing it's a child from outside and convince your ass that it's your child.
100%.
Make you live with her mistake, seeing it every day for the rest of your life.
And on the 18th year, he found out it wasn't his.
That's how cruel women are.
Yeah, women are crazy. I'm telling you, women are.
Because I'm going to make sure if I have a child outside, I'm going to make sure that you know nothing about the child. Yeah. I'm going to hide the thing. I'm going to make sure. But a woman comes here proud.
Another interesting fact about the difference between men and women is that obviously, and I think this is obvious, female prisons are a lot more safer compared to male prisons. Because women are more nurturing, they're more understanding, they're more in tune with the emotional side.
Hey, but lockdown paints a different story.
Yeah.
No, that's obviously.
And Orange is the New Black tells us a whole different.
No, that's
that's obviously exaggerated for entertainment purposes. Mm. But
steps
yeah,
from
I,
somewhere,
I
though.
Believe that.
Steps from absolutely. There's no smoke without fire.
I'm just thinking it's tougher to be in a woman's prison because.
You want dick?
Yeah. And the alternative, and obviously, is fingers, and we can try all of the other shit.
Well, I don't
think that's what they're thinking. A penis inside me.
I think I don't think that's what, you know, the most important thing for them is that I just want my freedom. You know what I mean?
I feel like that's
priority number one.
On that note, be careful of kids.
This is CliffCentral.com.
Yo, what's up, this is Brennan Leo, and you are currently tuned in to Urban Culture Drive. With your boy, the Seko Mapanga, your sexy girl, Candace, and the one and only Craig O6. Sit back and relax, don't worry, you're in good hands. Out.
Urban Culture Drive.
Boy, listen, Candace, Craig O6. Urban Culture Drive.
During LA's most violent riots, two brothers attempt a bank heist that goes horribly wrong. With the cops hot on their tails, they make off with no loot and head out to Hotel Artemis, a secret medical facility for criminals run by the nurse and her hulky aide, Everest. The Hotel Artemis has three simple rules: no cops, no guns, no killing the other patients, with a guest list that includes a femme fatale assassin, an arms dealer, and a last-minute check-in by a guest only known as the Wolf King. It turns out to be a busy night at the Artemis. Starring Jodie Foster, Sterling K. Brown, and Dave Bautista, Hotel Artemis releases in cinemas nationwide this Friday, the 3rd of August.
Urban Culture Drive.
Hotel Artemis. How do you pronounce it?
Hotel Artemis.
Sounds interesting.
It does sound really interesting.
I was watching another interesting movie, Dawn of Thieves or Den of Thieves, featuring that guy's son. The guy who does the Friday movies, Friday After Next.
I have no idea.
Ice Cube. Danye Mata.
Somewhere there.
That guy is featuring Ice Cube's son.
Okay.
That movie is Jesus.
Interesting.
A vibe.
Watch it. It's on Dish.
On
Dish box office.
Okay.
Just do that.
Okay. Cool.
Some of us will probably download
it.
Dawn of Thieves.
Yeah. It's even our viewers agreeing that side.
Absolutely.
Sharatz, our producer, is also in agreement right now. It's too much.
Too much.
So another interesting difference between men and women. This is my last one for the session. They say that women are amazing at meetings because they go through the whole, I would say, they're thorough. They're very thorough when it comes to finding little facts and figures.
Mm.
Men are awesome in a crisis because they pinpoint what is important. Yeah. So they're amazing in crisis mode, you know what I mean? And I just find that so fascinating.
Which makes sense, Woody, why when there's a problem in the house, the woman's like,
Or
tell your father.
Yeah.
But when it comes to planning trips and whatnot, the father will like, hey.
Do you believe the notion that men and women are equal?
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Candace, do you believe that?
And it's one of the things I wanted us to talk to you about.
Not at all.
I also don't believe that.
Not at all.
I don't think we're created in that way.
We don't even have to go far. Physicality alone.
Okay. Equal in what sense? Let's
we can't fight each other. You're gonna whoop my ass.
No. Okay. Maybe let's break.
Let's start there.
Let's start what equal. Let's start with the word equal.
You can't separate the two. They cannot exist separately. They need to be
equal in what sense? Because obviously,
that's what I'm saying. We can't. There's no levels to
even
equality
me and,
here.
Even me and Craig are
physically
not equal.
Not equal, yeah.
You get what I'm saying? We're not equal.
Okay. So we're moving away from the physical aspect.
Yeah.
You can't.
Okay. So I'm saying men and women are equal as beings, like as human beings.
As human beings.
We are there
to
support each other in our weaknesses.
Okay.
You get
absolutely.
What I'm saying? But not to say I'm inferior to a woman or a woman is inferior to me.
Okay.
That's what I mean in equality. Because equality nowadays is based on. Is based on
the fact that
you hierarchy. Mm. The equality is spoken in a sense of hierarchy. Mm. So I mean, we are equal in a sense of there's no hierarchy between. There should not be.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way. There should not be hierarchy between men and women.
Candace, do you think it's better to be a man than to be a woman in this world?
I given what's happening.
Yeah. What is happening?
And how far we've come.
Yeah. Give us the 4-1.
And still, we're not equal.
Yeah.
I would want to be a man.
You'd want to be a man.
Just
a
for perks, of... patriarchy, just being at the forefront, privilege.
Speaking of patriarchy, I want us to elaborate more on that, right? But let's talk first about the blind side of things that the world is suffering from after this.
Urban Culture Drive.
Lerato Shabalala is back with a brand new episode on this episode of Living It Up, brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Lerato chats to the owner of Andrew McKenzie Interiors. With a background in theatre and opera, Andrew talks about lighting trends for the rest of 2018, as well as decorating for quaint spaces. Download the podcast on cliffcentral.com. Make sure to get new episodes every Thursday and explore interior design, making the best use of the space you have, how to make your room more intimate, decor for kids, and so much more. If you're a parent, you won't want to miss this week's show. Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Are your windows and doorways crying out for some much needed attention? Taylor Blinds or Shutters are the stylish solution to give them a breath of fresh air. Trusted, innovative, quality, and style. Taylor Blinds and Shutters.
Urban Culture Drive.
So you see, the nice thing about being on radio for 2 hours is that you can talk about a whole lot of shit.
Yeah, and that's what we do so well. And imagine getting paid to talk shit. I mean, like, when will your fave ever? I mean, this is the best job you could ever have.
Is that like, it's the best. We're living our very best lives.
I mean.
And in this room, there's no patriarchy.
I just wish there was liquor in the studio today.
Absolutely.
Guys, I've been craving alcohol like crazy.
Mm.
And I have like $100, ne? But can I just say.
It's for essentials.
Nah. I left my card at home. I know it sounds like the typical excuse. The guy with the ice guy uses this.
Reminded me of my friend.
I was so annoyed.
I have money, but ish. Oh.
So I don't know how to work my way around
Maybe
this.
Maybe let's have a drink after this.
But you know, guys, where
let's go
we
to
have,
like a cheap spot.
Where we have our usual spot.
Let's go. Yes, let's go to Checkers.
And then we sit by the park.
And guys, chill in the parking lot.
We're giving you the 411 of how to live cheaply and... What happened?
Yeah.
Yes. Right?
Obviously, it's not going to go on Instagram.
No.
And you guys aren't allowed to join us.
No.
But you can. Actually, come join us.
Don't bring your friends. We don't want friends. We are friends enough. But,
you know, there is a saying that says, I just saw a tweet now. When it's month end and the bank balance is already 98.5.
Bona. Yes, sir. My whole fucking
life. I'll show you now in the break. The other video. Okay, guys, catch us in the next hour. We'll be right back.
This is CliffCentral.com.